I'm listener supporting KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It is Friday, December 5th, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gwyneth Cheesh, Hawa, Tuxk Newsom, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us via our live stream today on YouTube and Instagram. Just check out KTO's YouTube and or Instagram page and you'll see us live here in the studio. Today, Gallery Walk is here starting this Friday afternoon, the biggest first Friday of the year. We have one final preview for you with Jonathan Swinton, the featured artist this month at Juno Artists Gallery. Also, the Juno Symphony is bringing Holiday Cheer, their annual tradition, next weekend, December 13th and 14th, and we'll have a preview of Mudroom's storytelling event coming up this Tuesday, December 9th. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. And a programming note, the schedule for next week's Juno Afternoon includes a new roundtable readings with Juno Ghostlight Theater that will play on Wednesday. We'll be taking a look at the play Major Barbara by George Bernard Shaw. Then Thursday, we will revisit our rainy day conversation with Alaska State Writer Laureate Vera Starbard, who was just nominated for her fourth Emmy. This one for a Molly of Denali episode that she wrote about Thanksgiving. And then Friday, we'll feature an episode of our Juno Afternoon series, Songwriters on Songwriters, which featured Marion Call in conversation with Alex Cutlars. That episode recently won a statewide entertainment program award from the Alaska Broadcasters Association. That's next week here on Juno Afternoon. And you can also mark your calendars for 3 p.m. on Friday, December 19th. Couple Fridays from now, as Juno Afternoon will hold a special holiday episode with you in the audience. It will feature performances, singing, and more. No reservations required. We just ask you to arrive by 2:45 so we can go live right at 3. That's Friday, December 19th. Come celebrate the holidays with your favorite public media station, KTOO. This is Juno Afternoon. Coming up next, Jonathan Swinton. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtak'u, Bill Fawcett. And the word this week is tawe.
Tawe.
That means mountain sheep. And here's a sentence. I want a mountain sheep. Let's hear it again.
Tawe.
Mountain sheep. Gwyneth Cheesh Tchune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtak o Ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear, including Gruden's deck boots and flip-flops, and extra tough boots for both men and women. Located at the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon, on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at KTOO.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us today on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube and Instagram page. Gallery Walk is finally here. And artist Jonathan Swinton is the featured artist this month at the Juno Artist Gallery. Jonathan's work blends 19th century methods with modern technology to create amazing cyanotypes. What is a cyanotype? What is that all about? We're going to learn about it. His opening of Blueprints of Rain is in just about an hour or so. So I'm thankful that you're able to come in, Jonathan, to be able to hear a few minutes to talk about this work and the show that's coming up. So good cheese for being here. Wasiyati, how are you today?
Thank you. I'm well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. So this process, well, first of all, let's get the details out of the way. You're going to be at the Juno Artist Gallery at 175 South Franklin Street. It's inside the Senate Mall there on the first floor.
Yep.
4:30 to 8 p.m. You'll
yes.
be there to be able to chat about this amazing work that you brought a couple samples. I've also put some up on the stream so people can see it closer up in terms of this process, which we'll get into here in just a second. But that's tonight. And then the show will be up for the whole month.
It will, yeah.
Yeah, okay, great. And so, and you're a member of the Juno Artist Gallery?
I am, yeah.
Okay, how long have you been a member of the Juno Artist Gallery?
About 3.5 years, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, the Juno Artist Gallery is a wonderful collective of, how many artists are there now? It's about 20, it's usually about 20, 22 or
yeah,
somewhere in there.
Yeah, right in that range, 20 yeah. to 22, depending on some who might move out or
right,
retire.
Right. Yeah, and if you want to become a member, you can always go and talk to them during First Friday and say, hey, how do I get a little booth
Absolutely.
Here at the Juno Artist Gallery? And then you can also be a featured artist at some point, potentially.
Indeed.
Yeah,
indeed.
That's
we all
cool.
take turns.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is is this a newer show? Are these new cyanotypes that you're doing?
Yeah, most of them are ones that I've shot just in the last couple of months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So for those who don't know, and for those who are on YouTube or Instagram, I'm going to pull up some of these images so you can get an idea of the beauty of these cyanotypes. What is a cyanotype?
All right. Well, a cyanotype is a historic process. It was one of the earliest photographic processes that was developed. In fact, it was one of the two first that was ever allowed printing on paper.
Mm.
It dates back to the 1840s.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually where the term blueprints comes from, if you think of architects and blueprints.
Okay.
Before we had these fancy photocopiers, scanners, everything that we have today, in order to make duplicates of architectural drawings, they used this process where you paint an emulsion that's light sensitive onto some high-quality rag paper and expose it under UV light and with a negative sandwiched on top of it, and it can create this beautiful kind of Prussian blue image.
And for those who, like me, who are a layperson, what's an emulsion?
An emulsion is it's a layer of liquid that you paint on, like you paint a painting, onto the paper. And as it dries, you keep it in the dark. And then as that dried on liquid is exposed to that UV light, it reacts, and the iron salts bond to each other.
I see. Okay. And then it takes the image from the negative and sort of puts it onto
yep,
the paper.
Yep, creates a positive on the paper.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so where did you discover cyanotypes? When did you get into this process?
A long time ago. I studied art as an undergraduate. I went to college on an art scholarship and spent a lot of time doing historic processes back then, shooting with large view cameras, 4x5-inch, 8x10-inch view cameras. Mm. And this was a process that we used because it has such a strong history in the photographic arts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what was it about it that sort of like, you know, somehow, you know, like in the theater, there's like a bug, a show, you get an audience clap, somebody laughs. What was it about cyanotypes that was like, okay, this is going to be my thing?
I think that cyanotypes, compared to other historic processes, was always accessible to the average person. A lot of the historic processes used very expensive materials made out of platinum and gold and silver. But this used a much less expensive set of chemicals that the average person could get their hands on. And I'm a romantic artist. I really see that there's potential in so much, and I think a process that is accessible so easily really aligns with my artistic style.
Yeah, and you talk in your artist statement and a little bit in some of your information about that sort of like it helps you work with your emotions in terms of,
yeah.
Especially here in Juneau where it gets dark and a little gloomy and kind of blue, as it were. And
yeah.
So in working in this, tell me a little bit about that thought process, how that works for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm actually a family therapist most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I make most of my living. Those of us who are artists, we try to squeeze out a little bit of living doing
yeah.
that. But, you know, I spend my days working with people who are dealing with severe depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. substance use, divorce, relationship challenges. And it's hard. It's hard work. And sitting with people in that pain day in and day out can be a little heavy. And so I see it kind of like the weather in Juneau. We complain about it a lot.
Yeah, we do.
And I think we kind of let that get into our heads.
Mm-hmm.
When the reality is, the reason millions of people come here every year mm-hmm. is because it is so incredibly beautiful, and it wouldn't be if it weren't for that rain that frustrates us so much. And so this show is about kind of highlighting and showcasing the beauty that we can see because of our rainy landscape.
I see. Okay. And are most of your images taken outdoors and most of your photos that you use?
Yeah. You know, I have a series that I have on in my personal display at the gallery of some studio abstracts that I also do.
Mm-hmm.
But this show is entirely outdoor in the rain, the fog, cloud-covered Juneau.
Okay. And so these images that you sent me that I have on the stream here, there's a wonderful image of a valley. That looks, where's that at?
So that's just looking up Lemon Creek, actually. If you were to kind of I pulled off of Egan Drive right above the U-Haul complex.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
Looking up towards the Lemon Creek glacier is where that image is taken, and it was on a foggy, rainy day where you can kind of see those various ridges disappearing into the distance.
When you do the process of putting the negative and it makes a positive on the paper, does it sometimes change like these edges? Does it like diffuse them at all, or does it keep it pretty close to what the image was?
You know, you've got a lot of control over that. It's one of the cool things about the old photographic processes. As you see by my images that you're showing, you can see the lines where I paint on the emulsion. I kind of like to leave that raw look to those images. And depending on how long you expose them for and whether you use certain acids in the development, it can change the color and the tones.
So how many years have you been doing cyanotypes?
I think I did it first back in probably 1998.
Okay, so it's been almost 28 years or so.
Yeah.
Is that right? No. I can't. Years are tough.
Yeah.
A long time. And over that time, has there been trial and error in terms of like getting the right
sort of
feeling?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, I certainly think I'm better at it than I used to be. I've really developed kind of my process, but every time I do it, they come out just a little bit different, and I think that's kind of neat, actually.
And then I have another image here. This is is this the walk down here
at
Marine Park? Or not Marine Park, but Overstreet.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's along the Overstreet Park and the Juneau walkway that's there. Again, an image taken on a really foggy day where you can see the light poking through, and there's just something about it that I think is kind of magical.
And I know visuals don't necessarily go over the radio that well. You can definitely go and see Jonathan's work tonight at the Juneau Artist Gallery. You can see all these images. You can tune into the live stream on YouTube or Instagram and see these as well. And then, Jonathan, do you have a website that you share or Instagram?
I do. You know, the best place to go is to the JunoArtistGallery.org website.
Okay.
JunoArtistGallery.org. And there's a link to my work there.
Okay, great.
As well as the work of the other artists in our co-op.
Yeah, absolutely. You can see everybody's work there.
Yeah.
And this is underneath the bridge. This is probably down by the park or in the
park,
right?
Yeah. It is, yeah. So perfect timing. I've waited for that little boat to come up the channel.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about in terms of like the images, like when you create them, like on the day, I mean, obviously this is some fog down in here, but also I was thinking, is it the fog or is it the process? Is it like when it's taking, is it not taking some of the color or is that actually the fog in the photo and the emulsion process sort of, you know, grabbing the bits of light? I mean, but the only thing I did in college, I took my art class.
Yep.
The only thing I really remember is the idea, and I always say it wrong, but the chiaroscuro idea, sort of the dark and the light.
Yep.
Right? And so that to me is, this seems like it really highlights that.
Absolutely. You know, I photograph with a specialized camera that only registers black and white images. So I can get some really rich tones in there. But
the
cyanotype process is pretty unique because it has a very limited scale. And so I do have to massage the images in Photoshop to make them be able to show up in print form like this as well as they do.
That's so cool. And then these other ones that you brought me in here to just in person, these are just beautiful. This is some driftwood that is
That's up the road.
Out the road, yeah. And then this is looks
That's
like a
down
dead
at the
tree
Overstreet
or something.
Park as well with some ravens, yeah.
Yeah, a raven on top there. Pretty cool. These are really amazing. And you'll have these available for people to
indeed
take
yep.
home and do all the things that they do. Awesome. Jonathan Swinton is going to be the featured artist for this month of December here at the Juno Artist Gallery, 175 South Franklin Street. It is gallery walk.
It is. Everybody come on downtown.
Come on down. Everybody's getting ready to go find a parking spot. if you're listening to this on the rear later tonight, well, you just got to go down and see the show at your leisure.
Absolutely. It'll be up all month.
That's absolutely great. And you can go to JunoArtistGallery.org for more information about Jonathan and all the other artists at the Juno Artist Gallery. Jonathan, good to teach for coming in today. Really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you very much.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Up next, we'll talk with the Juno Symphony about some holiday cheer.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Hi, my name is Katie Bosler with 49 Writers, and this is a Juno Afternoon Calendar Delight. Alaska Writes is hosting Find Your Gold, a free writing workshop on Saturday, December 13th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Douglas Public Library Meeting Room. Led by author and UAA professor Don Reardon, the workshop is free and open to adults and teens, focusing on exploring the power of writing and storytelling as a means of personal growth, mental health awareness, and problem solving. Come prepared to write and discover the gold in your life. This Arts, Health, and Well-being in Alaska project is supported in part by a grant from the Alaska State Council on the Arts with funding from Rasmussen Foundation and 49 Writers. Hope to see you there. Gunashchish, and thank you.
That's Katie Bosler with a Juno Afternoon Calendar Delight. You can submit your own calendar delight for an event that you might have coming up. Just email us, junoafternoon@ktoo.org.
Support comes from Nugget Alaskan Outfitter, with outdoor clothing, gear, and footwear for the whole family. Now carrying women's workwear from Dovetail and Aloe Yoga Pants. Located in the Mendenhall Mall and online at nuggetoutfitter.com.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Next week, post-gallery walk, the Juno Symphony is bringing you some holiday cheer. That's the name of the program, too. It's called Holiday Cheer. It's an annual tradition featuring some amazing musicians and singers. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Juno Symphony Foundation today. I've got two folks with me in the studio. I have Charlotte Truitt here.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Wasiyati. Thank you so much, Gunath Cheesh, for being here.
Gunath Cheesh.
And Susan Bell, board member, and also working with the foundation, Juno Symphony Foundation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. Well, thank you as well for coming in. Gunath Cheesh.
Gunath Cheesh.
Yes, how are you?
Excellent, excellent. I'm so excited about this time of year. And, you know, as we conclude today's program, to walk out into our community and really kick off the holiday season with Gallery Walk. And I know you've already covered that, but just, I just kind of ricochet from event to event and just collect good feelings.
It's been so fantastic to sort of like have previews of Gallery Walk all week long. I mean, obviously coming out of Thanksgiving, Gallery Walk kind of kicks it off, really. I mean, Thanksgiving starts it, but then Gallery Walk really, like you said, Susan, for community.
And a little snow won't hurt either.
That would be, since,
that
would be
that will
fine
just be
too.
The right little atmosphere. And, of course, I'm an Eagle Crest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. But, yeah, it's a great, great time of year.
And then you all have this concert, which comes up every year around that time, right? Right after Gallery Walk, you kind of do this concert.
We're always the second week of December.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been doing this concert for 6 years. This is our sixth season.
Okay.
And, you know, we began this concert December 2020 with the help of KTOO. We filmed it, and it was recorded at the State Library Archives and Museum, right in December 2020. And
I don't know what was going on in December 2020. I think we've all forgotten about that.
Yeah, but we've partnered with you all from the beginning of Holiday Cheer, and we're so thankful.
Well, it's a wonderful program. I want to ask you about who you do it with. There's some great featured artists that you have. I'm just going to get the information out of the way. I've got the little poster up here for those on the stream. But it's December 13th and 14th. That's Saturday at 7:30 p.m. And then Sunday, December 14th at 3 p.m. There's no pre-concert talk for these Holiday Cheer concerts. And it is at Thunder Mountain Middle School, so a little bit smaller of a venue than you do at the Juno Douglas Yadav Kathleh Auditorium. So I'm just saying, people might want to, if they're thinking about it, you
absolutely
better get a ticket, right?
Better get a ticket. Yeah, at this point, we only have about 50 seats for Saturday night. And we have 10 for Sunday, individual seats. So we are very, very full. So I just really want to encourage people, if they, you know, can come and be a part of it, to please get on our website, junosymphony.org, and secure those seats as soon as possible.
Yeah, junosymphony.org is where you can find out everything about the Juno Symphony. So tell me who is involved in the Holiday Cheer concert. I played a little holiday brass kind of idea because it's it's a brass concert mostly, right?
Mostly brass. And we also partner with Vox Borealis. So the first half of the program will be the brass will accompany Vox, which people don't often get to hear Vox. They're primarily an a cappella group.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real treat to have the brass accompanying them on a few big numbers, and then they'll do a few more pieces, and then the second half is full-on holiday brass.
Okay, and who are you? You have the Sitka group that comes over, right, and is part of this, but then it works with the Junos. Tell me how that works.
Well, it's a collaboration between the Juno Symphony Brass and Sitka Holiday Brass. So it's a combined effort of our musicians that are residents here in Juno who play regularly with the symphony, along with the Sitka Holiday Brass, which are musicians from all over the country, all up and down the West Coast primarily. And just a few of the folks that are coming are Mark Inouye, who's the principal trumpet player for the San Francisco Symphony.
Mm.
Also, we have two horn players from San Francisco Symphony. Also, one of those is also very involved with the LA Philharmonic, who's a professor at UCLA. I mean, there's about 8 to 10 of those folks that are coming, and you're going to hear some of the finest playing anywhere in the country.
Wow. And you work with Roger Schmidt, right, from over in Sitka, who runs the Sitka Holiday, the Sitka Brass?
Yeah. Roger began Sitka Holiday Brass about 20 years ago.
Okay.
As an effort to really just bring the best of the country together in Sitka, to bring an offering there. And he brought a concert over here in like 2008 or something. It was about 2008. 2008. And then, you know, when we were working together during the beginning of the pandemic, we thought this would be something we could really make happen. It was on the type of scale that we could bring these people together. Mm-hmm. So we've worked with Roger from the beginning of this, and it's been a wonderful partnership.
Yeah, Roger's I remember he was here last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be here next week.
Yeah, because we did the interview a little bit closer to the show, and so Roger was in town. And I always just find him fascinating because the Sitka Fight Arts Camp, which he also runs, the Sitka Holiday Brass, like getting people from around the world and around the country to come to Sitka, you know. And we get that here in Juneau, too. But it's just – it's so amazing because Sitka's way out – you know, it's way out. It's this tiny little town, 10,000 people or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And Roger just has a way of grabbing those folks. So the fact that you've been able to collaborate and bring all of that here to town every year is just fascinating.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And we've really grown our work with Sitka. We took the full orchestra there last April. So we had all of the Juneau Symphony there for a concert. And then we took Alan Marine back here to Juneau. So we are trying to do a lot more of exchanging between the communities, and I think it just benefits both communities tremendously.
That's so cool. That's really, really great. Okay, and then Susan, you're working with the foundation.
Well, I'm on the Juneau Symphony Board, and we are working closely with the Juneau Symphony Foundation, which is our own foundation, about a 25-year history, with a separate board. To really grow the funds that we have invested through the foundation. And the significance of that is that our business model, we have our earned income from ticket sales, and we have a lot of community support from volunteerism to grants and advertising. But our largest single grant source is ourselves from the foundation. We have an automatic 5% payout. So when people are making donations to the Juneau Symphony Foundation, it's not just for the future, and it's not just people who can write big donations. Any little contribution, large or small, really helps us because it's part of our it's a key part of our operating model. And so 2 years ago, we did a big push with the two organizations together. And with the generosity of Bob and Heather Mitchell, we were able to put $100,000 into the foundation. This year, we did a little bit differently. We have they're on our website, and they're in our program for the concert. We had 8 benefactors, individuals or families, that donated at least $5,000. And with that kickoff, we're well underway to raising another $100,000. And as I said, the significance of that allows us to keep our programming, including our youth camps, keep our prices affordable, keep the programming going in our community. And also, as we're out there competing for, you know, in the community for ads and business support, it allows us to be strong and sustainable and give some space for some other organizations that may not have that kind of model.
It's amazing to me how supportive Juneau and the community is of the arts. Like, we have
absolutely
some world-class organizations here. And, you know, in this day and age, everyone is a little bit – ever since COVID, really. I mean, even before that. But COVID really started this, like, struggle a little bit, right? Because you couldn't perform live. I know we also partnered with you during that time to keep some concerts on Sundays going.
Yeah, we did weekly radio programming.
Yeah, it was really great to keep it going, to sort of be able – and we filmed a couple of different concerts for you to keep that going because you couldn't be in person. I remember you had – one concert where it was like people had to be – the musicians had to be a little feet apart, but they were able to make it work.
Yes, it was so exciting to get back in person. But, the measures that we had to take in order to do it in the audience as well, you know, just to space people out. But it felt, you know, for something that takes that, combined artistry of the musicians and the conductor, like it's magical when it's delivered in person. And I just remember, like, watching those programs that were virtual and just being so thankful. But when we were able to get back in person, I mean, there are times when Charlotte and I have talked about it, you feel the audience, like, breathing together, sighing together. You know, it's just – there's something about that collective experience.
Nothing beats in person, right? Especially when a magic moment happens and you all have a collective breath together. You know, that's the best. And Charlotte, when you think about the foundation, because I know, you know, KTO has been going through their own struggles with the defunding of public media. And I know some grants have been rescinded and things like that over the past year. How important is it for something like the foundation to help continue to support the symphony?
Well, it's very important, and we're so grateful that we have a very strong foundation of this support that's been part of the organization for, 25 years.
Wow.
And so people have had a lot of good foresight to really make sure we have solid financial footing to help us weather times when things are not as easy. And we've been very fortunate, too, to have various streams of revenue. So we are in good shape. We're grateful for the outside funding and the grant resources that are available. But we have been able to diversify enough that there's solid footing with or without that.
And if I can say,
our timpani was replaced with the generosity of Rasmussen Foundation. Mm-hmm. So again, there are sometimes some big items that we really think about, okay, how are we going to get that done within mm-hmm. our business model? Because again, we try to keep ticket prices affordable and have a pay-as-you-can model for many mm-hmm. of our concerts. Mm-hmm. And so we definitely do that. And I was just going to say, we also have lots of ways for people to be involved too that, you know, it.
Right. We don't survive unless we have our volunteer team. You know, last year we began a program called the Friends of the Juno Symphony.
Oh, nice.
And we have over 100 individuals who are contributing their time and their talents to the organization. And they're really what make it possible. Volunteer musicians, volunteer housing hosts, volunteer ushers and transportation providers and cookie bakers and our board of directors. They're a very hardworking board. You know, it's not just come to a meeting. I mean, these people are rolling up their sleeves. They're fundraising. They are making things happen. And it's a real collective effort, and I think that's part of the beauty of why it succeeds. And it's such a good community feeling.
Yeah, and it's a great time to celebrate that with
yes.
the Holiday Cheer Concert.
Absolutely.
And, as Charlotte mentioned, doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of tickets left, so you got to get those tickets going. I do want to mention, too, mm-hmm. that if you go to the Sunday concert, right, I think somebody who wears a red suit might
yes,
be there.
Yes, right. Children and families should be there, and anybody that wants to give a suggestion of those things on your wish list, we have someone there to take that. So Santa will be there.
And a wonderful backdrop, whether yeah. people come to the Sunday or Saturday concerts, the backdrop is there, and you know it just makes for a beautiful holiday photo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that'll
absolutely.
Be available Saturday night and Sunday. So as your family's getting dressed up and getting prepared to come, know that they can come and bring their phones and have a really nice setting for a family photo.
Or get a little holiday
with their friends.
But the jolly one will
with
be
the
there
jolly,
on Sunday.
The jolly one will be on Sunday.
Laughing and singing along and, taking the lists.
Getting those lists.
For those nice kids, not the naughty ones.
Yes.
It's the Juno Symphony Holiday Cheer Concert. It is on December 13th and 14th at Thunder Mountain Middle School. It's going to be featuring the Sitka Holiday Brass with Vox Borealis. And also the Symphony Brass, and it's going to be a wonderful concert. It's an amazing thing to get yourself in the holiday mood, right? Because Christmas is soon after that.
It's very soon. And, if you want to get into the holiday spirit, there's nothing like a good brass Christmas music to do that.
Yeah, are there...
And the vocals, the carols and so
yeah,
on.
Yeah, are there any specific... Do you know any of the program that's happening? Are they still putting that all together?
It's a lot of familiar music that people will know, the standard Christmas that you love, mm-hmm. Christmas favorites that you love. O Holy Night, Silent Night, and, there's things like I Saw Three Ships, those things that you may not always hear. Mm-hmm. Also, there's brass music that may not be something that people listen to all the time, like the Handel's Water music, that sort of thing. But there'll be popular things like the Polar Express.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new arrangement. Roger has created arrangement of the Polar Express main theme.
Was and that so in last year, too?
Not Polar Express.
Okay.
But they do a variety every time. Last year we did The Night Before Christmas.
Okay.
And we had MK doing the narration, and that was a wonderful medley. So they kind of hit, there's some more traditional Christmas music and current Christmas music as well.
Okay, great. And you can find out more about the Juno Symphony at junosymphony.org. Is that also where I can find out about the foundation and such like that?
Yes, information is on the website. Just how to support and give to the Juno Symphony is right there. It can happen. You can do the donations online. And again, Donations, large and small, are greatly appreciated. And in the time of this challenge, you know, some people may not think, oh, I give to an endowment fund. It has to be a big amount. But right now, we're collecting all of the donations together. It's a wonderful time to maximize small donations, donations of any size.
I see. Okay.
It really helps the challenge.
Awesome.
And if people have questions, Charlotte and team are happy to answer at the office.
Yeah. People can give us a call. We do answer our phone, and we call back. If you leave a voicemail, you can talk to us as well. We're 907-586-4676.
4676. Susan Bell, Charlotte Truitt, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Happy
holidays.
And enjoy the holiday cheer concert. Go be merry downtown in Gallery Walk.
Absolutely.
It's happening right now.
Let it begin.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Step in to the savory moment. Jollof rice arrived in late December. You'd been expecting the visit ever since this bright and spicy West African party dish saluted from your favorite cooking newsletter. You're always auditioning new recipes, especially warm, colorful ones, to ward off the winter winds and freezing rain on Alaska's southeast coast. Jollof rice stood on the doorstep, looking like a small bonfire, announcing it would be starring in your first ever Kwanzaa celebration, and that you were to gather ingredients: canned whole tomatoes, red bell pepper, a habanero, ginger, garlic, basmati rice, broth, red onion, and turmeric and smoked paprika. As for the cooking pot, you received it as a Christmas gift, a 5.5-quart Dutch oven in smoky teal. Entering the kitchen, Jollof rice swept past you and headed straight for the pot, as though they'd arranged the meeting in advance. You were advised to take notes. Jollof rice is cooked in a thick sauce, so slow bake rather than using the stovetop. Make a large quantity, because dinner guests will want seconds, but more likely thirds. Cleats and boots cast aside, your Kwanzaa guests gathered around the table where the jollof rice glowed like embers, melting all worries about black ice on the roadways. Had the pot of rice looked up, it would have seen a ring of curious faces drawing closer to its warmth and, inevitably, to each other. Looking around the table, you saw brows furrowed, as if everyone was trying to identify a secret ingredient hiding in the shadows. No one was thinking about wind or rain or the treacherous travel to come. Peace can be like that, settling between cracks when something else, like jollof rice, has your attention. You just have to open the door. Find the full recipe for Southeast Coast Jollof Rice at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube and Instagram pages. Mudrooms is the storytelling event. 7 stories, 7 minutes, $7. It's always on the second Tuesday of the month. And next week's Mudrooms is on December 9th. That's a Tuesday. And it starts at 7 o'clock, another 7. And the theme is, that's real nice, Clark. And I was going to play earlier. I had thought of playing What's the Frequency, Kenneth, because it reminded me of that, this theme. I'm joined now by Summer Custer, as well as two kiddos who I don't think are telling stories, but they're here in the studio with us today. We have Tegan over here. Say hi, Tegan.
It's Tegan.
Tegan, hi. Sorry. I know you even told me how to say it, and I messed it up. And then Olin. Hi, Olin.
Hi.
Okay, great. So, Summer, you're on the board with Mudrooms. For those who may not remember or know, let us know what Mudrooms is.
Mudrooms is an opportunity to come listen to 7 storytellers tell a personal story. And they're telling it without any notes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story that's going to be based on a theme. And this, yeah, thank you, sound effects. This theme, of course, is That's Real Nice, Clark, kind of like a play on the National Lampoon's.
Oh, Griswold that's, I was family. Trying to be like, what is that theme? Because sometimes it's just like bones or
right.
secrets. And this time yeah. it was an actual phrase, but that comes yeah. from the Lampoon Christmas Vacation
yeah.
movies.
Yeah, and so the themes are kind of, you know, Lampoon Christmas, winter adjacent.
I see.
I didn't get to the rehearsal last night, but Skylar, who is on the board and is a story coach, she kind of coached the storytellers last night, and she said the stories are super good.
Awesome.
Very funny, very heartfelt as well. Yeah. Tegan wants to say something.
Okay.
They have snacks there. They have cookies that are nice. Mm-hmm. It's like at least 1 hour, and the room sometimes is a little hot, but well, some of the stories are nice if you can actually concentrate on listening to them.
But they're 7 minutes long.
But
so
I usually leave early because it takes so long.
I understand. Sometimes the nights can go a little long. I get it. But 7 people, 7 minutes, that's only like 49 minutes. Who's the music? Mm-hmm. Usually have a musical mm-hmm. guest, too. Who's the musical guest this month?
Yeah, he's actually the symphony concertmaster, Franz Felkel.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's a violinist, and he's not doing this in association with the Juno Symphony, though. And he's also the music teacher at, okay, Kach Tiguhin Elementary School. And so this every, okay, taken, thank you. So every season we have a couple of nonprofit recipients.
Yes.
Nonprofit recipients.
You never know what you're going to get with her. It's so fun.
Post-school, right? Post-school energy for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get the information out, Tegan, so we can get people to come next Tuesday.
So the recipient this season is, oh my gosh, I have to pull up the name, Kach Tiguhin Elementary School PTOO.
Oh, the PTOO. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the yep. PTOO is? Is that something
it's
to do with the parents,
parent
right?
Teacher organization.
PTOO.
Right, right, right. The parent teacher organization. And they do like bake sales and things like that, yeah?
You said it. I was going to play so. Eventually. Yeah.
It's all good. So that's going to be the beneficiary, Kach Tiguhin. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And then do we know who the storytellers are this month?
Yes. We have Paul DeSlover, Eve Sautier. I'm sorry, Eve, if I'm mispronouncing your name. Maddie Koch. And I believe Maddie's partner, Hillary, is also telling a story. And Buffy Holdener.
And the stories are kind of all over the place. One is about an there's an altar boy story.
Oh, nice.
An altar boy mishap at a funeral. There is a beloved tree ornament named Angie the Angel. There's a chicken killing. Bad gifts given to a mother. So I think it's going to be awesome.
That's
my turn?
Not yet. Nope. The December ones are usually some of our best stories. So
I see. Yeah, because I feel like December and this theme of, you know, that's real nice, Clark, sort of gets you in. Okay, we were just talking about the holiday mood, like Gallery Walk is today. The symphony's doing their holiday cheer concert. And this is right in the middle next Tuesday, December 9th, and kind of like gets you in the mood, you know, gets you sort of feeling warm and fuzzy around the holidays.
Yes.
I mean, Mudrooms always does that. But I feel like in this December time, like it can be really a warm-hearted evening. And as Tegan says, there is cookies, there is tea, and the donations go to a good cause.
Yep, absolutely. I think this time of year, I mean, it's so dark and a lot of us are kind of hibernating and hermiting. And one thing that what really, really I love so much about Mudrooms, why I wanted to join the board, is how it really kind of connects us all. Right? Through stories. And it builds this beautiful community. And even though these stories are so specific, something about their specificity is also really universal. Like, oh, that's how you handled that crazy situation. And maybe I would have handled it the same way. And now all of a sudden I feel connected to you through, you know, hearing other people's, like,
relatable stories from the community, which is pretty great. So really appreciate you all being in here today to tell us a little bit about Mudrooms. I know that there's some other Mudroom storytelling coming up in the spring. So you'll have one in February, is that right? I know there's the Smut Rooms, which is coming up in January.
Absolutely. And this time we're going to have tickets too. So you can buy the tickets ahead of time. So
yeah,
you're not stuck getting turned away like last time.
Yeah, last time it was so packed.
Exactly.
That, and I think there's going to be two versions of that. And are they still looking for storytellers for that?
I believe so. Yeah, okay. I think we're looking for storytellers, especially for Smut Rooms, but also for the February and the March shows.
I see. Okay. And you can get all the information for Mudrooms over at mudrooms.org.
Correct.
And it's going to be Tuesday, December 9th with the wonderful theme. That's real nice, Clark. It's going to be so fun. It's over at Kunikidi Northern Light United Church. 7 o'clock, 7 stories, 7 minutes, $7, all for a good cause for Coxtugu'uhin. That is wonderful. Summer, thanks so much. Tegan, thanks so much.
Thank you so much,
Boston. Can I talk now?
Oh,
you want to say bye?
What do you want to say? You want to say bye?
Yeah, I want to say stuff.
What do you want to say?
Okay, so.
Uh-oh, we got a whole other segment
it's
here.
It's like upstairs. I'm going to describe what it looks like. So there's a really tall ceiling when it's already upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And then there's like a ton of seats. And then like on the back table, there's all the food and drinks. And then there's the stage. It's a levitate stage. And
a levitate stage? Oh, it's like higher
and
up?
Then, yeah. Yeah, and I think I remember that there are windows on the ceiling near the stage.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
And at first, bye.
Thank you so much, Summer. Really appreciate coming. Thanks, Tegan. Thanks, Olin. Appreciate
y'all
here today. Have a good gallery walk and enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate y'all being here on Juno Afternoon.
Don't forget to go there. Bye.
Juno Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connections, all made possible by you and your donations and membership to KTOO.org. Programming note, the schedule for next week's Juno Afternoon includes a new roundtable readings with Juno Ghostlight Theater that will play on Wednesday. We're going to be looking at the play Major Barbara by George Bernard Shaw. Then Thursday, we'll revisit our rainy day conversation with Alaska State writer laureate Vera Starbard, who was just nominated for her fourth Emmy, this one for Molly of Denali and her episode about Thanksgiving. And then Friday next week, we will feature an episode of our Juno Afternoon series, Songwriters on Songwriters, which featured Marion Call in conversation with Alex Cutlars. That episode recently won a statewide entertainment program award from the Alaska Broadcasters Association. Marion plays music, Alex interviews her. It's really fun. You can tune into that all next week on Juno Afternoon. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ok Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives over on KTO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juno Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you and Alaska Airlines Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juno Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. One more programming note. On December 19th, Friday, we're going to have a live in-studio audience program, which you can join along. We're going to have music, performances. It's going to be a wonderful holiday-themed show that will sort of close out the Juno Afternoon episodes for the year. No reservation required, just we ask you to show up to the studio downstairs by 2:45 on Friday, December 19th, as we will go live at 3 p.m. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnith Cheesh, have a fantastic weekend, and enjoy Gallery Walk, everyone. Get out there and see all that wonderful artwork that everybody is making in our lovely community of Juno. Gunnith Cheesh.